Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Enlightening Your Way. I'm your host, Nancy Lombardo. We are airing live simultaneously on blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio, and of course here on the Lilydale Assembly's official Facebook page. I am a full-time resident here at Lilydale. I am a spiritualist minister, an interfaith minister, and healer. I'm also the president of the Church of Living Spirit, which is an independent spiritualist church here in Lilydale. I'm a military veteran and a retired police detective with a combined 32 years law enforcement experience. I'm a group fitness instructor and yoga instructor, and wellness is my passion. My show is a combination of many life experiences that will feature various topics and guests to help enrich one's mind, body, and soul on your pathway to healthy living. This show will also air on my Facebook page, Wellness with Nancy Lombardo, where my motto is protecting and serving your well-being. And I'm so excited to introduce our special guest tonight. Tiffany Harlick is a best-selling author, astrologer, psychic medium, and the owner of Spellbound Publishing and Wise Skies Collective, a spiritual development agency. Tiffany has received advanced training for some of the world's best psychic mediums. Tiffany is passionate about missing persons and detective work. Outside of her work, you can find her in her beehive, we were just talking about that, and on her yoga mat, or saving seeds in her garden, a Texas to the bone. Tiffany is also an avid traveler and has journeyed to India, South America, British Virgin Islands, and of course, she's been right here in Lilydale. And Tiffany, first of all, thank you so much for agreeing to be here. And I have to tell you, I am in such awe of all of your accomplishments that you've achieved already, and you hold it together with such grace and beauty. And I just adore that about you. And I would love for our audience to begin by you telling us more, a little bit more about you and how you came to be on this path.
Oh, absolutely, Nancy, thank you. And I feel the same way about you. I listen to your bio and I'm like, that's a chick I wanna hang out with. So I'm just honored to be here. Like you said, you know, Texas to the bone. I was born in Austin. My practice is in Austin. I began seeing spirit when I was 3. Like many psychic mediums, a special tender age, I had a near-death experience when I was 14. And looking back, there was actually a significant astrological transit going on. And so those experiences really shaped my ability to see and connect with spirit in my unique way. We're all gifted. We were all born wise. And we all have the ability to connect, of course. But those are two significant events in my life that really shaped the way that I see and understand spirit. I went to college. I went to get my master's degree. I have a master's in health psychology. That was very important to me. That is really how I came to be here. I started taking astrology classes about 23 years ago. Wow. And that first class, that teacher looked at my chart. He said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, I really want to help people." And he said, "Okay, well, go ahead and get your master's so that you're respected, you know, so that you have something behind you going forward so that you're not just facing the world with woo-woo." There's nothing wrong facing the world with woo-woo. He just wanted to help elevate where I was so that I could be taken seriously with some of the stories that I had. So, that's really how I got here.
You know, as well as I do, we know a lot of people in this community and they're highly educated. So, I mean, you're right, they bring a lot to the table and it's impressive. Mm-hmm. So for them to bring that to the table, plus truly believe in the continuity of life and everything else that comes with it, puts a unique combination together for a lot of people, I think.
I do too, absolutely, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your first experience of, you said, 14, when you first thought you could, or psychic, or...
My near-death experience, is that what you're thinking? Yeah, I was in a car wreck, and it was really horrific with my aunt, and it was in Pecos, Texas, and at the time, dating myself a little bit here, there were no cell phones, right? So we had to wait for somebody to arrive, to drive to somewhere, to call somewhere, to drive back to get us. And we were kind of in the middle of nowhere, Texas, very far west Texas. And in that time, you know, when you're experiencing so much pain, it's common to go into shock. And in that state of shock, created this near-death experience of basically having an out-of-body experience, seeing spirit the way that I experienced spirit, seeing different orbs of light and experiencing people really as some kind of funny to say it this way, but it's like if 10% Nancy and 10% Tiffany and 10% everybody out there was united under one orb light, that unification of light was what was communicating with me at the time. And I was simultaneously able to see what was going on down below in the scene down below. And the thing that brought me back is that the emergency worker said, I need you to breathe. And my body just obeyed. My body just breathed. I think I would have stayed in this peaceful realm, being able to communicate and connect with spirit. And but the body obeyed, and I breathed, and it was very painful, and I came back, and we went on to, you know, to heal, to the healing journey. But there weren't many people that I could talk about with being able to see spirits, being able to connect with other people that had crossed over when I was 14 in West Texas. So it really wasn't until later in life, my late 20s, early 30s, that I connected with another medium and began really to fine-tune my spiritual development and understand how to best communicate with the afterlife and how to best communicate psychic information that I'm getting so that life wasn't so overwhelming and overstimulating all the time, right?
Yeah, that's a beautiful way, the way you put it all. And I always tell people it just wasn't your time. This wasn't your time. That's why you started breathing again and came back. Most people probably don't know this, that me and you met here in Lilydale. Was it last year? I lose track of time.
I think it was just last year.
Last year?
Yeah,
last April. I instantly liked you, especially after I found out you were from Texas and I lived in Oklahoma for 40 years. And so we connected not only on that level, but when you found out that I also did a lot of investigations with children and internet crimes against children, and you're passionate about children. And then you come to find out you loved working missing person cases as a psychic. And so I was thinking about that, and I thought, what a great topic for us to both talk about that in our unique areas of expertise. You know, me doing the criminal side of it, if you want to say that, and me doing the psychic side of it, and just how it goes together. So I would love to know how you became to be involved in missing persons.
You know, let's see, how I came to it is that I had a lot of practice doing a lot of grief readings, and through that, right, I don't know, maybe it's the competitive side of me, but I wanted to do more. I wanted to do a little bit better. I wanted to be in the action, and I knew that I could be a better service, or not even better service, but I knew I could do a little bit more than these day-to-day counseling style psychic mediumship type readings. Anybody can do that, right? Like anybody can train to do that. And I felt like it was one-upping myself to be able to really click into gear and work in these intense, there's attention to these situations. There's a timing to these situations. There's etiquette to handling these situations delicately with integrity. And I just felt very called to do it. I didn't have some like lightning bolt moment. I just over time, I'm like, that's really where I want to go. That's where I can make the most impact. We're all going to have seasons of grief where we're healing from the loss of a loved one, but I can't, you know, there's a different thing going on when somebody you love, it was there and then they're not, and you have no answer for it, right? There's a different kind of disruption that's going on in your nervous system. And so to me, that was just the next thing on the path that I really wanted to contribute.
That's very interesting the way you said that, because it's almost, I feel like it's similar to me the way it unfolded with my working with kids also, is that, I mean, people always ask me, did you actually work the streets? Yeah, I actually worked the streets for 15 years. The last 13 years of my career, I was a detective, and I was originally assigned to narcotics, and then I went into sex offenders while I was monitoring the sex offenders. Well, the sex offenders are the people that always come out of prison. They've already been convicted, right? And working that side of it and that side of it, I thought, man, you know, I want to start finding these guys that are doing it, not just guys, whoever's doing it, and start working these cases to get convictions to put them where they need to go. And because I wanted to help the victims also and be on the victim side of it. So very similar of how you felt, that you just wanted this innate need to get involved and really help. So interesting. So I think it's important that we go over, first of all, why we both found this so integrally important to be involved in our lives because of the statistics. And we were just talking about this before we went live. And there's several different numbers. And I think a lot of the discrepancies in the numbers also is because many children, sometimes the families, they ran away five times, we're not going to report this time. They don't get reported. Sometimes there are, but I did read the research. They said no matter how many times that they're habitual runaways, they will statistically go in the FBI's category each and every time, even if they're habitual runaways. So some of the numbers I had, and you can correct me, I had that 460 children are reported missing every year. And what number did you come up with?
Well, these are individuals, so that's why I think there's a bigger discrepancy. I have from the National Crime Information Center, which is through the FBI, that there's 600,000 people that go missing every year. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot. And that's not just talking about children. That's people in general.
That's people in general, yeah.
Yeah, I think mine was the children part. So that's probably the, mm-hmm. the discrepancy. Mine was also from the National Crime Information Center for Missing Children. And like I said, they put in the information daily, I'm sure, and they said that they had 337, 195 entries for 2021 that got put in their system. And of those entries, 93,718 are still actively missing. That was in 2021. So you got to figure that number is at least the same, if not more, each year. So about 100,000 that are actively missing. That's a lot. That's a ton. I wanted to go over a little bit because one of the nonprofits I worked with specifically as a detective was the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. NCMEC is a great, great, great resource for law enforcement and individuals. It was founded in 1984 by John Walsh, who did wonderful things from a horrific, you know, incident of losing his son horribly in Florida, but made a great benefit to so many people by creating this nonprofit 37 years later. And of those 37 years, they've received more than 5 million calls in their call center. It's incredible. 5 million calls. They've circulated not millions, but billions of photos of these children. And I even was able to submit many of the children that I had working child pornography cases of faces you had no clue who they were, and you put them in their system, and maybe you can find them, maybe you can't. Most of them are on the streets missing. They end up in bad scenarios. And a lot of times they end up in really bad scenarios. But the good news is they had recovered more than 376 missing, 76,000 missing children. So that's really, really good.
And what an impact that, you know.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, oh, my gosh. To put in perspective for people, every 40 seconds a child goes missing. The kicker, I think. That is just the kicker. Think about our 45 minutes or hour, whatever we're going to talk today, how many kids are going to go missing just now?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and is that worldwide, or is that in the United States? That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, that was the United States statistics. So.
And to be a missing child, right, like this is somebody that's under 18, is that your,
Yep. So I would like to ask you, how do you work as a psychic in these investigations?
Okay, great. Thank you. How I work as a psychic, how I prefer to work as a psychic is with, first of all, with the family. I like to go with them first, and I also like to work as a team. And so once I have established that this is a case that I would like to take on, that I think I would be good at, because that's not always the case. I had a case last year where a mom contacted me. And you know how hard it is to tell a mom I don't think that this is a good case? I mean, that this is a good fit. I genuinely did not feel like a good fit for the case. I checked in with some other psychics on my team, and I think that her child purposely ran away. And that ended up being the situation. So we don't take every single case, but for once I've established that, yes, this is a live case that we need to get on right away, I will go out and contact a team of psychics. And these are people that I respect, that are highly trained, that have, you know, gone through the ropes, that have their certifications. And I like to work in a team of about 5 or 6 people, and we present very little information. We don't work with a ton of information. We just work with the last couple of pictures. We work with the last known location. And that's kind of where we start. That's pretty much it, right? And then we'll go work. And so I'll present the information, I'll present the pictures, and we'll just take some silent time, some quiet time. And so there's 5 or 6 of us, and we're just in spirit. We're taking notes. This is my notebook. And we're writing down little hits of what we get. We're writing down bullet points. We're not writing stories. We're just getting pieces of information that we hope are somehow going to match up. One person on the team is sort of the information handler. They're not necessarily actively working the information, but they're going to take all of our bullet points and start to draw out the similarities. And so I love to work in a team because it's so powerful and so validating when you have 5 people in all different parts of the world with all different backgrounds, with all different walks of life, and we all come up with Red Car, Illinois. You know, what are the chances? You know, what are we picking up on? Something. And so I feel so much more confident bringing that back to the family or back to the law enforcement officer and saying, look, 5 out of 6 of us got this piece of information. I think it's hot. We are not trying to solve the case. We're trying to give the next piece of information for law enforcement to handle it. We are not trying to be the heroes. We're not trying to be in the spotlight. We're just trying to help provide a little bit of the next piece of information so that law enforcement can handle it appropriately. I could go through it.
I got a couple questions. I come up with them right in my notes.
Okay.
Do you find that people come to you after the police have exhausted all their measures of investigation? Because let me tell you, I told you I've worked a couple missing persons. It really wasn't the space I work in, but my partners I was very close with that did work these cases, and they would get piled with these missing person cases daily. You know, just making a phone. You know, they did as much investigation as they could, but they had to keep moving on unless more information came up, because there's so many of them that come in on a daily basis. So I'm sure some of the families would get frustrated with what they would perceive to think that the police aren't doing enough. So I'm wondering if you find that these families come to you because of their frustration, because they feel the police have exhausted all measures, or are you actively working with law enforcement?
Yeah, well, yes, all of the above. Usually we're kind of like the chiropractors. We're the last person that you go to, you know. If you had come first, we could, of course, correct it a little bit. But I find that, and in fact, the last case that I worked, it turned into a really beautiful thing where, you know, working with this family gave them a belief in the afterlife where they had none before, gave them a belief in God and spirit in the higher power where they had none before. And so to me, it's always going to happen at the divine right timing. I believe in spirit. I believe that spirit is orchestrating all of this. And it's hard for me when I want to help as the first person, but a lot of times I'm the last. And so, you know, to answer your question, yeah, it usually is after they've exhausted a lot of things. And so it's not like, I don't feel like people are approaching with skepticism at that point. They're approaching with total desperation. You know, and so we want to be as accurate as possible in reporting, and that's why I think the team effort is really helpful.
Do you know many of your colleagues that are actively working with police departments?
No, not many. 2 or 3 that have two or three, and they'll have a relationship with somebody in the law enforcement office. They'll be somebody's sister-in-law. They'll be somebody's buddy from high school. They'll have an in already. I would love to have the experience of actually just bridging the gap and working directly with an agency, a law enforcement agency, or a private investigation agency, where it's not the case that it's like the sister-in-law or the buddy or whatever that kind of trusts you. You know, I would absolutely love that. It's one of my dreams, but my experience is not that.
You're correct about that. I actually pulled a couple, or I found some statistics about that, and they said in a survey done of the 50 largest police departments, they found 65% of the departments responded that they had never made contact or use of psychics, never. So that's over 50%. And that those were quick to play down the official nature of the associations of it because of the stigma of it, because, you know, we're not doing that. Public should understand that psychics information, even if it were to, cannot be used in court, that we as police in our investigations still have to come up with our own investigations, probable cause, everything to back up. I mean, you could come up with that red, what did you say, the red car, but we need to come up with everything else to back that up to be able to use that in court. But that would be something perfect to be looking at. That'd be a great tool to use.
Well, when you're working with evidence-based mediums, evidence-based psychics, that is exactly the kind of stuff that we're trying to give law enforcement. We want to give you what road is this on? What key is it on? What piece of evidence can you use and change it? Not just sensing that something may have happened around. It's very just clear-cut data and information that is easy to follow up on and verify one way or the other. So I really appreciate you bringing that up, because not only is that important, you know, that data piece and that forensic piece, it's like there's also a lot of phony psychics out there, right?
I've Googled, anybody can get on there and Google cases that have been actually charged against psychics and mediums that have brought false information to families, that have taken money from families on the hopes of I can locate your person. It's horrible. This one case, they dug, and you could just see the torment that family was going through. Not credible at all. Not credible. Mm-hmm. And that's very sad, because it's not what we want for our community at all.
No.
And we said this, we want people and encourage people to look up, if you're going to even think about going in that direction, to do research on them. See what they've worked on. See how accurate they are. Make sure they're credible.
Absolutely.
So I think it's very, very important. Have you ever known a psychic to actually break the case totally of missing persons?
You know, yes and no. What we have done, unfortunately, is identified bodies, locations where people have passed. I've been part of that mostly. I think it's not like a win to find a body, but it does settle a case, it does solve a case, and it does bring peace to the grieving family and the loved ones left behind.
Well, what it brings is closure. And what I could tell you in talking to so many families of people that have gone missing, and they take it to their dying grave, and they're tormented. The years and years they're tormented that just never knowing. And they would rather know where they were at, even if it was a burial, than to never know what happened. I can't imagine that. I just can't imagine one day someone's there, the next day they're gone, and you never know what happened to them. It's the worst case scenario.
Absolutely. And so, you know, in a way, I guess we have, because of what we've been able to find and identify and help lead law enforcement too. But I would love to have the case solved with a happier ending than that. And so maybe I'll be able to network and find out where I can be one of the first couple people called instead of the last couple people called. Because, you know, as you know, right, with missing persons, the first 48 hours are the most critical.
Absolutely.
So if we're looking at this a month later, 2 months later, and they're still not home, the likelihood of them coming home well goes down the further out you get. So, you know, we have all kinds of resources for what you should do or what you could do when your loved one goes missing, the kind of data that you do want to bring to law enforcement. We always say, yes, absolutely go to law enforcement first. I'm not saying, like, call your psychic right away. I'm just saying I wish the time was shorter, you know, when you're looping in a psychic detective.
You said you had your little book with you. I would love for you to share a case that you have worked.
Sure. Yeah. Let me see. I have a couple. I think really one that I learned a lot from. This is a cold case, and it was real cold. It's a 30-year-old cold case,
wow.
And
wow,
it's so old that even Sylvia Brown worked on this case. And so this has been written about. There are authors. The family is still well. I was in touch with the mother, the author, and law enforcement that handled this case 30 years ago,
wow.
You know? And they were just in my community and said, would you give it a go? And I said, absolutely. And so a couple of the things that I learned is how spirit gives information. And so the four of us were on a Zoom call. And so we were walking through the case, and I received information mostly clairvoyantly. And how it comes to me is kind of like remembering a movie. You know how you can kind of visualize what was happening in the scene of your favorite movie? That's how I am getting this information. And of course, I'm spending time and connecting clearly with spirit first and spirit only and the frequency of love or above, right? So it's very clear, clean energy. And I was starting to see ice. So all of this ice, and I'm like, what is going on? Because I knew where the case was. The case was very Midwest. And I just said, look, what I'm seeing, what they're showing me is there's an exchange of ice. There's ice going back and forth. And I thought, in my little Texas naive innocence, that we were talking about like a bag of ice, like that you would put in your drink.
Well, when you said that, that's what I thought. So I'm curious to see where you're going with this.
Well, in this world, there were narcotics involved, and ice is a description of
methamphetamine.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But fortunately, I didn't know that, and so I'm just describing this exchange of ice, and so they're like, tell me more, and I'm like, okay, it's on a boat, this is happening, I got a time frame. All that was right. They are fisher people. They would go out on boats, and they would sell drugs on the boat, but all I got was ice. You know, an exchange of ice. And so it's interesting how spirit can work through you to give accurate information in a way that kind of keeps you safe and distanced from it. They asked about a location in that case. And what I saw was the number one and the number two coming together. And so I wanted to understand, like, why would the number one and the number two come together? They're asking for a location. So I just said it like that. All right, I'm looking at a map, and I see the number one and the number two crossing. And in their location, they had a highway one and a highway two that had an intersection, and that was close to the crime scene. And so they felt that that was accurate enough to have me back a second time and get more and more information. You know, again, this is 30 years ago. There's no DNA to find. There's no good, clear, solid evidence. But that was a case that was very helpful for me because I had four people that were interested in getting an answer as opposed to seeing if the psychic could get something right. You know what I mean? Like, they were really concerned, as was I, and we were on a team and we were working together and they were asking questions. And so, you know, one of our techniques in the psychic detective world is to do remote viewing. Anybody that's interested in remote viewing, right, like this is a skill that can come in handy whether you've lost your keys or many other things, right? But Russell Targ is the man who coined the term remote viewing. And he has some amazing books out there. He's got a lot of great resources. He works with the Stanford CSI, what is it, the Center, I can't think of it now. He works with the Stanford Research Institute.
Wow.
He was one of the founding members, in terms of all of his work with psychic investigation, and he was a spy for the CIA. So we're using his techniques, his remote viewing techniques, to go in and go through the map and be present with what was going on with the spirit, right? What was going on?
That's awful telling, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's very telling, and especially with what you can see. And so that was a case where I really started to incorporate remote viewing. And so, you know, it was just an interesting one for me.
So did it resolve? Were they able to
This one is not resolved. This one is not resolved. And I'm not sure that it will. I feel like the missing individual is probably at sea. And I think that everybody agrees with that. And I'm not sure that it will resolve. But the more that the family hears the same story and gets validation from other teams of people, you know, it's not just about getting information and realizing that they're never coming back. A psychic medium is also bringing forward the personality of their loved one, memories that they shared as a family. There's healing that's going on in a mediumship style reading that is, it's much more warm and comforting and working through the grieving process than just the data analysis of did we or didn't we, right?
Right.
So, you know, it shifts and you do feel like you've made an impact with somebody, even though that they're aware that they're probably not going to find their loved one in that situation.
But even giving them some bits and pieces to put it together, like you said, you know, to make it make more sense in their head, I think it is a healing and helpful, and helpful for sure. And yeah, I've gone to a few remote viewing classes. I'm sure, you know, you can never be good enough at that. But it is possible, and I've seen people bring some very good evidence to being able to do that. I was actually, when I was on the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's site today, they had a picture of a young boy, I think he was like 19 or 20 or something, what he would have looked like, but he was taken as a baby. And now they have the technology to photo image from a tiny baby what he would have looked like at 19, which is just incredible to me. And they said it's pretty darn accurate. So, you know, technology is definitely helping us out also with being able to locate and identify and maybe find kids that were abducted or taken or kept against their will, human trafficking, whatever scenario they got thrown into against their will. And that's impressive to me and encouraging. Yeah.
You know, that you're so right. And like technology can also work in the opposite way too. It can also work against us. I had a case recently with a woman whose son was groomed on the internet. And so this person who was grooming this child to do incredibly inappropriate things and try to meet up and try to basically work him into a kidnapping situation. When she understood what was happening, of course, she involved law enforcement. And there was only so much they could do with this false identity of somebody online. There was only so much that they could trace and only so much that they could do. And so because her son fortunately was okay and because they caught the situation early enough, and of course he's going through therapy, the family's going through therapy, but she still wants to know who did this. You know, what she wants justice to be served. And so she contacted me. And the information was pretty aloof, but what I could tell her was, I do believe that this person is in California or was in California at the time of this crime. And I gave her a couple of bullet points, and she said, everything that you reported was what the police could identify, is that this IP address goes back to California. These are the things that we can know. But we can't always know everything, you know? And so fortunately, that case was, you know, he's okay. And this is a mom who just really wants some justice served, and she's done everything that she can to try to prevent this from happening to other kiddos. So your heart goes out to her in that situation, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've worked a lot of cases like that for sure. And, you know, one person can contact 100 victims in a second, and all it takes is that one to get back to them to start that whole conversation and the meetup, the whole nine yards, but they have a lot, they make contact before they find the right one that's going to make that connection. And yeah, and they're on and off and changing. Oh, it's very, very difficult with today's technology. Very difficult to chase down these people. But it's possible, for sure.
It is, yeah.
So is there another case you'd like to share, or is that the best one?
That was the one that I pulled up. I mean, I could tell you some about let's see, like one thing that I really,
that was cool.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
You know, the It's hard. They're gruesome. You know, the cases are gruesome.
Yeah.
And so I could definitely bring some up. I brought the cold case up because I knew it wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings that may see this later. Right.
Program. I understand that totally, and it's sad. But like you said, you know, the mediums, especially when they have that sense that the person's not here anymore,
mm-hmm.
because we are empaths for sure, and we feel mm-hmm. things for sure. And it's, you know, you have to be really careful on that thin line of what do you say, what you don't say,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're not complete evidence based behind it.
Right. And my job is to give the family hope, clarity, right, and closure, and to give law enforcement the next piece of evidence that they can track down and go down. Right. And so that idea that you're talking about, when I receive information from someone who has crossed over, I feel it on my right side. When I get psychic information that's coming in, that's more from the living, that's coming in on this left side. And so one of the cases we worked on last spring, it was a missing persons case, and I was getting information all on the right side of my body. And I was in a class. We were working a live case in real time in a class. And the class was pretty well divided. Like, is she with us? Is she not with us? And for me, it's like, that's how I just knew immediately. And so that's not what you're not going to lead with. Like, well, I think your missing person is not ever going to return. Right? That wouldn't be the way that we would approach that, because I'm always going to offer hope. Because the truth is, we don't know, you know? And just because I always get information this one way, this could be the day when it's different for me, right? And so I'm going to have hope eternal for somebody that's looking for their sister or their child or their loved one, you know? And so, but when I get that on the right side and I give them memories, right, that isn't evidence, there's a knowing, you know, there's a knowing, and not much has to be said, right? And the way that you use your language has to come across with a lot of dignity and kindness. You know, would you understand this person to have had memories around riding horses growing up, right? And they're going to say, yeah. And how am I going to know that, right? And so there's evidence for that continuity of life that does come up in these cases. I feel like I'm rambling. I think you asked something.
I had a couple of things. I love the fact that you work with a group. I love the fact that you work with a credible vetted group.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like what you said about you're all in different places of the world, and you come together and you have the same pieces of information. You can't make that up. You cannot make that up.
No. Yeah. And it's hard to be the one.
Time and time again, haven't we? We see that happen. We understand evidence-based mediumship, evidence-based psychic abilities, and you just can't make it up.
Mm-mm. And that allows for somebody to have an off day. You know what I mean? And when we work, we'll do half an hour. I was starting to describe the process, right? So we'll do half an hour. We'll take out the bullet points that make sense. And we'll walk around and do something very mundane. We'll do the dishes. We'll get back in the earth. We're not all spaced out. And we come back and we look at our data and we start to cross stuff out that doesn't feel right. It's like, that one's not right. And so you have to look at it with fresh eyes. One thing I learned in working these cases is I can't do more than one at a time. When I do, I cross the information. And so it's not useful. And so I learned that pretty early on, and I just do one at a time. And we don't do more than two or three readings. There's not much. That's just kind of how we work. We don't do more than two or three readings.
You weren't a criminal detective, because they piled up cases on our desk. We had piled because we didn't have the luxury of just working one case at a time.
One case, yeah.
Sadly, but yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all good. They all need to be looked into and solved, hopefully.
Yeah.
You must be psychic, because that was one of the questions I had, was I wanted to know how you felt, your involvement, what you gave to the family back doing this line of work. But I think you kind of answered that.
I think I'm, first of all, just peace, you know, a connection. What they want to know, like, you're answering what you would want to know. Are they okay? You know, are they okay? Is there anything I could have done differently? Is there something I could have done to stop this? right? And so we're answering these questions for the family so that that's where the peace comes from, you know, like they can let themselves off the hook. They can have a clear understanding of, you know, peace on the other side and what their experience is like in from this world to the next. And so that's, I mean, this last reading, this last one I did, I was blown away because this woman straight up told me I did not believe in God, and now I do, you know, and because she did not believe that there was an afterlife. And now the evidence that we gave her, there's no doubt in her mind. Now, I'm not out here, like, trying to be evangelical about it, right? But that, as a result, I mean, this she has hope and she has faith and she has life. And she's not constantly in a state of depression and confusion. And it's not Tiffany. It's spirit delivering information that that person needs, right? And so I'm just the channel sometimes. And to me,
the takeaway is beautiful.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I think it's important, and I know me and you have touched base on this, that as a psychic working these cases, it's so important to hone in on your skills, your abilities, your practice, and to trust your abilities. I think it's key to everything. And, you know, you sound very confident sitting here because you built that up, you know. And like you said, I like the fact that you said you walked away and you're taking a break and then go back at it and take fresh eyes of what fit, what didn't fit. I mean, that's also useful and clever and smart. Smart to do that, for sure. Just really smart. And I appreciate that. I make note that Missing Children's Day, do you know what day that is? I didn't know. But it's on May 25th of each year. They have Missing Children's Day for the National Center for Children's Day, honoring their commitment to help locate missing children. And it's because of a six-year-old vanishing from on that day, May 25th, 1979, on his way to a school bus and went missing and still hasn't been found to this day. So I still have Missing Children's Day on May 25th. That's cool.
That's easy to remember. It's my best friend's birthday.
Oh,
just May, but I wouldn't have known that. And I thought that's really special. I'm glad you brought that up.
One other thing I wanted to touch base on, because I told you I found it fascinating when we did our little thing on Instagram, that you were putting your astrology in with missing persons. And I know you said you can talk for hours on this, but can you touch base about how you put that together to help you with your investigation?
Absolutely. So part of my spiritual journey was to really go deep into astrology and the language of how the planets influence psychology. It's kind of like the psychological weather report, if you will, looking at astrology. And so I use it very scientifically. It's just more data, something that you can use when you're working a missing persons case. You want to use all of your tools. I don't care if you're a card reader, if you use a pendulum. I don't care if you receive information through your body or through sound. We're trying to find a soul, you know? And so I say use all of the tools available to you, whatever you're strong at. And so then I was like, well, Tiffany, you don't really use astrology. So one day I started playing with it. And the moment a question is asked, in that moment, you can create a birth chart of the case, of the situation. And so you can work with that chart information in many different ways. When you're looking at a chart, you can start to see things like the players and the roles in this individual's life. You can see brothers, sisters, neighbors. You can see mom, dad, grandma, granddad in the chart. You can see business associates. You can see lovers. You can see all kinds of, you can see the map, the lay of the land, where things may or may not have happened. And you can identify critical moments by looking at the transits of what's going on in the sky right now as compared to that person in their birth chart. And so you can start to see when things might resolve or not. You can start to see the timing in a different way. But absolutely, whatever your skill set is and your background is with your strong suit in psychic development, that can be used. We talked about remote viewing, right? But astrology is just one other thing that you can use to your advantage when you're trying to help somebody.
Yeah, I love that. And putting that all together can be so important. So,
mm-hmm.
We're talking that if anybody has any questions or comments, that we might be able to answer, to put it in the comment section, and we'll go back and answer all of your questions for sure. I would like you to tell people how they can contact you if they're interested in your skills. Please put it out there for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So my company is WiseSkyCollective.com, and on the homepage, there's a button that says forensics. And so if you are looking for missing persons information, or if you're needing to connect in that way, of course, I'm always so sorry when people contact me, but I'm also there for you. So just know that the forensics button on WiseSkyCollective.com is going to speak to everything that we have been talking about this evening.
I know, the time went by so quick. I was like, oh, my gosh, it's never in a way. There it goes. I did write a little thing I want. I do believe that for those people that possess psychic and mediumistic abilities and who conduct themselves with integrity and confidence and consistency, that you may become a credible source of information to law enforcement agencies throughout the United States. And I would encourage to try to build those contacts and those communications and open minds of law enforcement officers that you can possibly give them a little tidbit of information that could solve a case, because why not?
Why not, you know? Absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity to talk about this, you know, to bridge the gap between the psychic detective and the police detective and law enforcement. You know, I have such a huge heart for law enforcement officers, and so I just really value and esteem the work that's being done. Like you said, there's so much that's piled up that just feels insurmountable, and so the role of the psychic, again, is not to solve the case. It's to support the officer that's looking for evidence. It's to give the family peace and hope, and so, you know, if you take the pressure off of, like, the spotlight is not on the psychic, right? And I think that takes the pressure out, it takes the scariness out, it takes all of that out. But I also recommend, as a law enforcement officer, to get a reading from the person that you are thinking about working with.
And help with that skepticism.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
And that person ought to offer that reading. You know, in my opinion, that person ought to offer that reading complimentary. And not to show off, not to brag, but to be like, look, this is the style, this is the vibe, are we going to work well together? And it's not that everybody's a good fit, but it's like, it gives you that open door. Are we going to be able to be on the same team or not, you know? Because if I can't read you, then how are you going to trust me to pick up anything for your case, you know? So start there, for sure.
That is great advice. I love that. Perfect advice. Well, Tiffany, I can't thank you enough for joining me. It's been lovely. I was telling you before, the audience doesn't know that we had a storm going on prior to us getting on, and we lost power for a second. I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to lose power. But it stayed on, so yay for us for it staying on. Thank you so very much for joining me this evening. Join me again in 2 weeks. We'll have another show, Enlightening Your Way. My goal is to help enrich your mind, body, and soul on your pathway to healthy living. Please also visit our Lily Bell Assembly, Inc. Facebook page. I do post some pictures on there, and I hope it helps capture the essence of Lily Bell and makes you feel like you're a part of our home. Please like my Facebook page, Wellness with Nancy Lombardo, my Instagram, nancy.k.lombardo. My name is Nancy Lombardo. I am protecting and serving your well-being. Good evening.